Welcome to the ChatGPT Report. I'm your host, Ryan, as always, and today we have a very special guest with us today. His name is Steve Mordeaux, and he is an 8-time Microsoft Business Applications MVP and the CEO of Forceworks, which is pioneering in leveraging AI within Microsoft Dynamics 365 and Microsoft's Power Platform to transform businesses. Digital transformation is upon us, so what can Steve tell us about this and the decade of AI?
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Steve, thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Hey, happy to come by and talk AI with you, Ryan.
Love it. Well, we try to keep these interviews within 20 minutes, so let's begin. Now, people like examples. So to that point, how does integrating AI with Microsoft Dynamics 365 and Power Platform help in transforming businesses? And could you provide some examples of the transformations that you have facilitated?
Yeah, let me start by saying with AI in Microsoft in particular, it's a work in progress. We are seeing changes coming out of Microsoft, you know, on an almost daily basis as they are making discoveries and advancing the product. But if you are a salesperson or a customer service person, they've kind of focused on some of those personas, particularly in the Dynamics side, around giving you, you know, in-app chat experiences where you can do things like summarize phone calls, get case information, maybe get suggested ideas for a sales call or suggested ideas for resolving a case. It's good. It has value today. It will have significantly more value as they continue kind of rolling this stuff out and tying it all together.
Fantastic. And I appreciate that. Now, what kind of customers have you been working with in regards to that? Like, what, back to my original question, these kind of transformations that you facilitated, what are some good examples that you can explain to the audience to share with us for that one?
Good examples where high value was achieved. I can't list any yet. We've got some folks out there that are kind of poking it with a stick. We've got a lot of people that are still in a wait and see attitude and time frame. We've probably done more for ourselves than we have for any of the customers. You know, most customers have got it. It's lighting up by default now, so they're at least seeing it in their environments to play around with it. But there does seem to be a lot of, you know, when you're talking about software you run your business on, you just don't go gambling with trying stuff out on a lark. You know, you want to know that it's going to add value, that it works, that it functions, other people are having success. And we're really just starting to see that come in. They're hearing all this stuff from Microsoft, which is great, a bunch of demo videos, which is great. But now we're starting to hear case studies coming around, mostly generated by Microsoft, of some successes. So I think we're going to see this year a lot more people diving in a little deeper.
Excellent. And I like what you said there. You talked about businesses don't really want to gamble. We're seeing a lot more personal use of these AI tools, but as the businesses, they're waiting to really see, hey, have they nailed this down? Because I'm sure businesses are concerned about, you know, obviously hallucinations and other things that that AI has been having some issues with. So I completely agree with you on that, that they are taking a second before full adoption and whatnot. Now, with that, with AI really taking shape these past couple of years, particularly when ChatGPT came out in November of 2022, what has been, at least you've seen, the most overhyped or underhyped part of integrating AI?
I mean, I think the promise of AGI has been probably overhyped.
yes.
Whether that could ever be achieved, I don't know. But I don't think it could be achieved on the path that we're on. Large language models was a direction. Everybody's leaned into that direction. It can do lots of things. As you said, certainly there's a hallucination challenge, which is, obviously everybody, if every answer it gave was correct, we'd be in a different place right now, but hallucinations scare people. Even through RAG and other technologies, reducing hallucinations until you can kind of guarantee they're not there. It's a scary thought for a business to have a salesperson, reading off some specifications that aren't correct or things like that. And I think they're starting to squeeze this lemon for about all the juice that is in it. At least towards AGI on an LLM front, I think they've squeezed all the juice to get to that. Now, I don't think that this path will get us there, which is good, in a lot of ways. But there's still a lot of power to be had with this once they can minimize those hallucinations to a point where people are willing to take a chance.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that because we, like you said, if everything was working, we'd be there. But the AGI thing has been a thing I've talked about with the audience as well. And we've discussed how I really don't think on this current path that we're going to get to AGI, something else will have to happen there. So could not agree more with you on that. Now, some of your background, next question here, you've worked with a little bit on the co-pilot side of things. How good is it actually, and what are some exciting features that really aren't talked about on the street for Microsoft Copilot?
I think that Copilot's got a lot of promise. It can add value today, but I think we're only at the tip of what Microsoft is going to be able to do with that. Copilot Studio in particular is an area where a customer who has Microsoft Copilot, which is kind of the big Copilot, the one that's like $30 a month, if they have that license, they can go in and kind of create their own Copilots, which is far more advanced than, say, for example, creating your own GPT at ChatGPT, because you're really dealing with your own data. And that's the biggest difference in Copilots and general chat out there, is that it's looking at your data to generate its answers, right? So Now we're circling back to the next logical problem, and that is that most companies' data is not in very good shape. And it needs to be, because, this is what you're going to point your Copilot at, is your own internal data to give you information about your own business and decisions you should be making. And if the data is not in good shape, you're not going to get very good information. So it's like one solution leads to a new problem. And we're kind of entering that phase now where people are realizing, while they may have known for a long time their data is not in the best of shape, now they're realizing just how out of shape their data is. And until they get that right, the co-pilots are going to be somewhat limited in what they can do for companies.
Absolutely. And I think you hit it right on the head there, because even at my company, when I work with some of the data input that we're working on, I've worked with GPTs more than the Copilot side of things. And sometimes it'll give you this off the wall answer, but then you go look at the data and you go, well, it was pretty garbage data to begin with. So I kind of understand how the large language model got to that point. So I think you, like I said that perfectly, with we're realizing our actual data is not as good as we think it is. But that is exciting news on that front, and hopefully we'll be able to see more of that from Copilot. Now, off of that, who do you think has the edge? More of a broader question here. Who do you think has the edge in the AI space? Microsoft, Google, Apple, or do you potentially think it's a smaller, more agile company?
I think the potential for revenue is too high, and all of the smaller startups are going to generate some interesting ideas, some great stuff, and be bought. There's going to be an awful lot of consolidation. Most of these right now are not, you know, profitable businesses. They're operating on investment funds to get off the ground. And I think there's too many of them. They're not all going to survive. We're going to see them, a lot of those, consolidated or just going by the boards because, you know, as soon as you start developing something as a, you know, a startup with a sharp team of half a dozen folks, you know, and people start hearing about it, or other people are thinking the same thing you are, including Microsoft, you know, Google, Facebook, et cetera, you know, they'll just come out with that thing. While you're still building it, they'll have thrown an army of people just to knock it out, to eliminate the opportunity. So it's going to be very difficult, I think, at scale if you're not really one of the big players, and or you're not in a niche. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Microsoft, Google, they're not going to go down the niches. They never have with any of their other products, you know. So if you were to develop some AI angle that was really focused on, you know, a deep industry vertical, you know, I don't know, corn farming, or, you know, dentists, you know, pick something that's kind of farther down the stack and make it very specific to that industry, I think you'd have an opportunity. You'd be insulated, plus you'd have an easier to identify market. But I think all of the big discoveries and all the big capabilities out there will be coming out of the big companies, and any small company that comes up with one is just going to get gobbled up or trampled over.
Yes, and I also think of that as I'm in the construction world, and the amount of data centers that are being built is mind-boggling, and all the back-end power that's needed to crunch all these numbers. You know, small companies, it's very hard for them to be agile with that because, you know, you have to pay a pretty premium to get all that data moving. And some of these bigger companies like the Metas of the world and Google and Microsoft have some discretionary income to be able to spend money on that type of computing power. So
they're creating, I mean, they're building their own chips. Yeah. I mean, they're beyond just having a data center and buying the limited supply of chips. You know, they're out there creating their own chips now. I mean, you just can't compete with that. You know?
Exactly. And I'm fully agreeing with you on that. I do think the big guys are going to stay around for a little bit longer. It isn't a conversation of a little guy's going to come up and take over a larger company. Because to be honest with you, I think you're right. I think the second they show any promise, they're going to get bought out, and then the larger group will just, you know, they're just a conglomerate then adding them to their suite of products. So very good on that. And looking towards the future here, more so than anything, what new innovations or advancements is ForceWorks particularly exploring to enhance the AI and Microsoft Dynamics capabilities?
So an area where I'm particularly interested and we're watching closely is Microsoft launched something, you can look it up, called Project Sophia. Project Sophia is an app that was built with an AI first approach. You know, you look at Dynamics and Copilots, these are all AI added to an existing legacy product. And when you think about Dynamics, or really any CRM system out there today, you know, it's a bunch of forms that get filled in and lists of information. And while they've evolved and become more sophisticated, they're not, you know, it's fundamentally different than what they were when they came out 20 years ago. Project Sophia is an idea from Microsoft about what if we created a UI that was AI first and wasn't about forms. It was about AI. And, you know, we could see in the near future, you know, a CRM system, for example, that doesn't have any forms. It doesn't need any forms. It's entirely run through an AI a user interface. So that's got me pretty excited. I think we're about to potentially see for the first time in 20 years, an actual radical change in the user interface for some of these systems that people have been using for so long. And that'll be thanks to AI.
Absolutely. I think that's an excellent one, especially like how you said, it's an AI first approach, not necessarily AI added. So that is very exciting. I'm very excited to hear about Sophia and see what's going on as that moves forward with that. Now, more of a personal question here as we start to slowly wrap this up. What is something that you yourself have created that didn't get necessarily a ton of recognition, but you really enjoyed creating it?
You know, we've got a flagship app that we built back in 2015. I wouldn't say it hasn't been appreciated. There's 100,000 users of it. But there's still a lot of folks that don't understand or know about it. And it's really a simple-to-use CRM. It's an alternative to Dynamics, Salesforce, some of these beasts, which are powerful, which is great unless you're a smaller organization who's not really needing all that power and you're looking for just moving up from spreadsheets into something better. And that's one I think more people could probably benefit from than are today. It's inexpensive and really gets people on a path to a legitimate CRM kind of off of spreadsheets, because we still have an awful lot of the world out there running processes for sales or customer service on spreadsheets. As massive and advanced as those spreadsheets are, they're still really no match for an actual, relational database application.
Very cool. Very cool. And don't dog it too much, spreadsheets run the world, right?
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Yeah, we do need to start moving off of that onto more advanced. Well, it is a pretty cool tool, so I can't dog it either too much. So very good. And then, we talk a lot about accolades and things we've done in life, but what is a failure in your career that kind of will stick with you, either, hey, I won't make that mistake again, or, man, that was a good lesson?
Looking back, probably the one I regret the most was I had come up with an idea for a new application before anybody else had thought about it. It was this idea of doing pre-recorded webinars that you'd play on demand. And it would be one of these things you'd sign up and it'd have all the look and feel of a live webinar, but actually it was all automated to run in a background on a schedule. And as I was putting that together, trying to bootstrap it, some folks got wind of what I was doing and went out and got an investor and built what I was building, bigger, better, faster, went to market and made a killing. This is going back, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, and pretty much left me in the dust. So that was something I regretted, was either letting that information get out or hoarding it a little too much to myself and not bringing in investors when I should have. So a lesson to startups out there, definitely keep quiet, keep an eye over your shoulder for folks coming up behind who are better equipped, better financed to be able to take your idea and just run with it, because ideas aren't worth much. It's execution.
Ideas aren't worth much. It's execution. That is an excellent way to end on that. And thank you again, Steve. We really appreciate you joining us here today. Thank you for the insight and the knowledge that you've brought to the table for this interview. And like I said, thanks for coming on.
Been a pleasure, Ryan.
Absolutely. Everybody, we'll see you on Thursday for the next episode of the ChatGPT Report. We'll see you guys later.